Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, everybody. Good evening. It is Friday, May 29th, 2015, at 10:02 p.m., and it's myself, Robin Albright McKean, with Lisa Ripple. Hopefully, Lee, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, excellent. And we are here doing the show Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health, and I'd like to welcome everybody this evening. I have just had a really busy, crazy day. I don't know. How was your day?
Oh, well, you know me. Tomorrow's Poopsie's first birthday. Yay!
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I knew about it like 2 weeks ago.
Sure, of course. So we decide to go shopping right now. For most of you all know that I live on the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to go up to the local mall, which is not far away. And then we found out that what we wanted wasn't at that store, even though their inventory said they had 6. It lied. So we had to drive up to Eatontown, which is about half an hour north of Toms River. And then we had to drive home with everyone else who's coming to the shore. Now, we are much smarter than that on a normal given day, but we were just all thinking baby birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So I made the big mistake of the shore liver and drove north on the parkway just to have to come south with all the Bennies and Chewies and all those people.
Oh, boy.
But otherwise, it's a good week. Next week is shots for my knees. Woo! Mm-hmm. So I will be pain-free, so all is good.
Ah, okay.
Now, why did you have such a busy day? What were you up to?
Oh, well, you know, I've been babysitting for the neighbor's kids, and today was field day at the school, and which meant that the kids were outside all day, so it was just
I remember that. Yeah.
So it was just kind of hectic getting everybody off to school with everything they needed and all, and you know, sunscreen and water and the right shoes and, you know, just a lot of stuff.
And of course, they were probably all a little cranky from being outside all day.
Yes, and then you know, the little guy's here all by himself all day with me, which is easy because he loves to just be outside. He'll toddle around in the grass and dig in the dirt, and that's his favorite thing to do. But then when the older kids come home, he just turns into this, you know, he gets shot out of a cannon, and he's just everywhere all at once. Everybody has to pay attention to him, and he's, wow. And it's just because he's been, I guess, you know, alone all day, and and he's just usually just woken up from his nap when they come home. So he's got his second wind. So it makes for a little bit of a challenge in the afternoons that they're for them all to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, they'll all survive. Hell, you raised three kids. I think you know, they didn't kill each other. They tried, but they didn't.
They tried, yeah. Please. I can remember lots of doors slamming and get the hell out of my rooms
mm-hmm.
and leave me alone. And mom, she's making googly eyes at me. And mom, he's touching me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just, my favorite thing though was like, they'd get like within 3 inches of each other with their finger. Like they were going to, mom, I'm not doing anything. Mom, mom, he's going to touch me. Did he touch you yet? No, then leave me alone until he does. Yeah, I like that Terry said, he's breathing my air. I mean,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and everything mm-hmm. belongs to them. He's in my seat. She touched my pillow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, even now, the two that are still home are 21 and 23, or 24
yeah.
almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, mommy ate my last cookie out of the box. Oh, for God's sake, I bought it.
Uh-huh.
I bought it. When you buy it, write your name on it.
I get a lot of that, too. I bought myself.
My goodness.
I have these really fond memories of Italian ices from when I was a kid.
Sure.
And the ones in the cup that we used to get for a quarter. You know, it was
with a little
good
wooden spoon.
Yes, exactly. And now you can buy them by the six-pack in the supermarket.
Oh, yeah, cherry and lemon. I think it's Luigi's.
Yes, but they had chocolate, which is my all-time favorite, you know, flavor of Italian ice, except for the Coke. Do you remember the cola?
Yes, I love the cola.
That was the best one.
I still
one
get
because,
cola Slurpees.
Yeah, that was the best one because the syrup kind of did this crusty, icy thing in the bottom of the cup that none of
and
the other ones
do. Did you eat,
do.
Like, the first half and then flip it over so
yes.
you could eat the crusty stuff on the
That's
bottom?
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely, that was the way to eat it. Absolutely, everybody had to do that. But anyway, I have this box of chocolate Italian ice, and I also got a box of mango because Perry likes mango. And
yes.
I catch her in the refrigerator the other day. She's, I want a chocolate one. I'm like, no, those are mine.
No, mine.
You can't do that. I said, watch me. I bought them. It's my money. Would you like to eat? Do you like to live in this house? They're mine. Don't touch them. It's not fair that I have to give all my money to you. How about that?
Right. You know, you get everything I have. I get my own chocolate ices. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's right. Keep your hands. Keep your little mitts off my chocolate Italian ice.
You know, I always thought my mother was ridiculous because she used to hide stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we'd come home from school, and if it was there, we ate it. And, I mean, that's, you know, kids come in, and it's their house, and they come in, and they just eat it, or they offer it to their friends or whatever. And, you know, you don't want to tell them not to share. You don't want to tell them that they
mm-hmm.
technically can't have something. So I can remember, like, going to get a plate out of a cabinet and finding hidden in the back,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mom's fudge or, you know, or something. And now I do the same thing. It's like I'll take a box of cereal that I know they won't eat, and I'll hide something in it. Because I know they'll never go in that box. That's disgusting.
Oh, that's a good one, Lee. That's like the Chex Mix where they tell you to put it in the bag of plain chips on the commercials?
Yeah, so nobody eats. It's so true. It is so true. You know, or I put it where the laundry is because God help them if they did laundry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my daughter does laundry, but, you know, I mean, you just, you know, put it by the cat food. They won't feed the cat unless Perry's over. Nobody feeds my cats.
Yeah, well, yeah, she doesn't feed her cat. Let me tell you that. I just fed the dog and the cat like 20 minutes before we came on here because she didn't feed them. And where is she tonight? She's spending the night at a friend's house. And before she left, I said to her, did you do everything you need to do today? Did you empty the dishwasher? Did you feed the animals? Oh, yes, Mom. Well, you know what? Not so much. But it's okay because she can.
Well,
she
it
can
makes
do
her look like she's
want.
A perfect little angel at my house. So, you know, that's always good to
is.
Hear as an adult, to hear that your children are so helpful and so wonderful
mm-hmm.
is a lovely thing. And if they're mm-hmm. going to be lazy and not do anything, have them do it at home.
This is true.
So, I mean,
she's
it,
a good
it
girl.
Is. She is. I mean, really, she is.
Okay.
I would have no complaints if I was her mom.
Well, yeah, I really can't complain. She really is a pretty good kid, except I was a little disappointed.
Mm.
She was trying to try out for honors art. She didn't hand her project in on time. Actually, she didn't hand it in at all. She forgot. So now, guess what? No honors art. But on the flip side of that, remember the project I called you about?
Yeah.
She got a 98.
Of course she did.
So.
Because she did exactly what the rules said.
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the only thing was...
I thought she was handing in her art project on the same day.
She was. She was supposed to, but she didn't.
And she didn't. Oh.
So she was very bummed out about it.
Well, it was her choice not to hand it in.
That's exactly what I told her. I said, if you can't be responsible enough to take care of the things you need to do, then I can't fix it for you. That one's on you. I made sure you had it in your book bag when you left here.
Right.
You knew you had to hand it in, and you didn't.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I know. Yeah, it happens.
Yep. Oh, so anyway, so we're here tonight to do a show, an Ask a Witch show, which we do from time to time, just for fun. And.
Yeah. Plus, it means we can talk about whatever we want.
That's true. That's very true.
And that's my best show.
Because you like those free form, you just get to chatter. Nonsense.
Just flow with it, you know, very linear, just go with the flow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was sorting through the questions, there was a question in the mailbox about crafts and how to be more crafty as a witch, and I thought, yeah, I'm not going to ask her that tonight.
Well, you know what? If we fly through them and you find it again, we could probably at least hit on some of it. You know?
Okay.
That's
but I'm going to. Do you want to read the first question, or do you want me to?
Why don't you do it?
Okay, I'll read and then you answer it first.
All right, that works for me.
It says here, I need some advice. I listen to your show regularly and know that you both have children. I was wondering what you would do in this situation. My daughter is 7, and she has befriended another little girl in her class. The little girl comes from a very evangelical Christian family. The girls regularly see each other on the weekends and after school sometimes as well. The other day, my daughter came in from playing outside our house with this little girl. My daughter told me that the other little girl told her that she wasn't allowed to have friends that were not Christian. We are pagan, and I have raised my daughter to know the god and the goddess. She knows about magic, and she also knows that we go to full moon circles on occasion. She has been in ritual with me. This has led her to a crisis. She told me she doesn't want to be pagan anymore if it means she can't be friends with this little girl. I'm obviously upset. I'd like to talk to her parents about this, but not sure that would even help. What do you think?
That's funny. Okay. So diagonally across from me was a family with a boy that was Adam's age and a girl that was Austin's age. There wasn't a girl in the middle that was Sammy's age. And they were from the River of Life, which I know what the River of Life is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very large born-again Christian church up on the highway from us.
Which is now a beer church.
which is now a liquor store. We call it River of Beer or Liquor of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was karma, to say the least, that church became a liquor store. And they were extremely religious. I mean, to the point of they would leave on Halloween. You know, they were very religious. They invited... more so with the young girl. She invited Austin to Vacation Bible Camp.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Austin a Bible.
Mm.
Now, they knew who I was because I've told this story before. There was a woman around the corner that walked around the neighborhood telling everybody I was a devil-worshipping whore.
Oh, jeez.
Which my neighbors laughed at and said, really? Okay, thanks. And then called me up and told me she's a wackadoodle. But they went to the same church. But these people were never anything but nice.
Mm-hmm.
They always waved hello. They always said hey when they were going out to their car. They knew who I was. They knew who my children were. And they didn't have a problem. Although I do know that they pushed the Christianity when
Austin was at their house. And he came home one day and he said, "Mom, I'm a Christian."
Hmm.
And I said, "Okay. If that's what you want to be." I didn't push the issue. My husband happens to be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
My one daughter is an agnostic. My older son hasn't made a decision. And so I thought to myself, you know what? If at, 5 years old, he feels the need to say he's Christian, then he can say he's Christian, because I know that it's going to change. It's going to change 100 times before they're an adult raising their own children.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? If your daughter wants to say that they're Christian, let her say whatever she wants. You know what I mean? Let her claim to be whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change. And it's not like you're going to suddenly start going to church and sending her to Sunday school. You know what I mean? You still say, okay, well, that's fine. If you don't want to be pagan, that's fine, but I'm still going to be pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would never force them to be friends with someone.
Right.
That they didn't want to be friends with. I think they're still young enough at 7, 8, 9, they're still young enough to not really realize what they're saying. She only doesn't want to be pagan because she wants her girlfriend around.
Right.
You know, it's not like, it's why when you make your first Holy Communion in the Catholic faith, you're 6 or 7, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you have someone stand up for you. It's not till you're 13 that you have to make this decision for yourself.
Right.
So if she wants to be really good friends with this little girl, and she wants to not say she's pagan so she can be friends with this little girl, I don't think it hurts anything, but you as a parent should continue to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Be who you are. I would not have had a problem speaking to the neighbor if the parents are that strict that they really feel that they're not going to allow their daughter to play with them. You could put a kibosh on the entire relationship and create quite a rift. And with children, if the mother turns around and says to her, "You can't play with her because she's not Christian," the kid's going to tell other kids, and that could create a bigger problem for your daughter.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
You know what I mean? I mean, if they're the kind of people you can talk to, and that they're, and if you know that they're fully aware of who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I mean, I was so far out of the closet. I was in the newspaper when my kids were 4 years old.
Yeah.
Thank you, our previous organization.
I remember.
The preschool teachers were coming going, "That's so cool." You know, I didn't have an issue here. The one person who tried to make it an issue got laughed out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I, you know, like I've always said, I did not have a huge amount of intolerance. You know, people were adult enough to come and ask me a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did have someone come and say to me, you know, "Does that mean you're teaching my child in your preschool class, paganism?" And I was like, "I'm not even allowed to teach them about Jesus or Santa Claus, much less paganism."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all relative.
Right.
You know, it's all relative. And if
yeah.
I firmly believe that if you go to the parents and these parents are that evangelical, if they were that other woman, they will do that whole "don't talk to them, they're bad," and all that kid has to do is get it ingrained in his head enough that he's going to tell all the other kids that you're bad.
Yeah.
And then your daughter's really going to be hurt. Let her say she's not pagan.
Yeah.
How pagan is a 7-year-old?
True. Yeah, well, I kind of sympathize with this. I've had actually a very similar situation, but I went and actually did speak to the mom, because the mom was kind of the cool one of the of the parents. But I knew that,
and
I
there
could
are
do
a lot
that.
Of those.
Yeah, and I knew that I could do that,
mm-hmm.
but not everybody can.
No.
So in this situation, I would probably just leave it alone, because I think if this woman talks to the parents, it's only going to exacerbate the situation and make it worse. It doesn't
absolutely.
Seem, yeah, I mean, unless she really thinks she could talk to them, they'd be willing to hear it.
Right.
But probably only make it worse.
Right, right. And, you know, you're going to have whatever. Once the kid realizes, well, no, you can't come around the drumming circle anymore because you're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't pray to the God and Goddess if we're not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
they're going to be like, well, but that's what I like to do. Well, then you are pagan. And eventually the child will be able to sort it out for themselves. But at this point, why put that on them?
Yeah.
You know, why put that kind of, I can't even think of the word. It's not really being bigoted, but, you know, that kind of mentality on the child where she has to think her mother's bad now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, be who you want to be. Because, I mean, what's the truth here? Let's just say your daughter. I mean, my son grew up to not have an affiliation. My daughter grew up to not have an affiliation. I raised them on both sides. They got raised with all the information and chose to accept none of it. So, you know, when she's 20 years old, she may come to you herself, not you, but this person. She may come to you and say, you know what, Mom? I think this is the way I want to go.
Yep.
And blessed be for her that she found a path that she's happy with.
Yeah, ultimately it's not. I don't think that it's really up to us to choose a path for our children. I do agree. When I was a kid, I went to Roman Catholic Church. I went to Baptist Church. I went to Presbyterian Church. I had friends who were Jewish. It ran the gamut. I was exposed to a lot of things.
Exactly.
And I found my way here. If it's meant to be, if this is what feeds your soul, this is what's going to feed your soul.
Right, and that's all that really matters. Like Nib said, under 12 doesn't really get the concept anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of time for that sort of thing. There's going to be plenty of questions on either side later.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're kids. They should be playing.
Yeah.
This should not be, you know, it's like politics. You know, oh, you can't play with them because they're Republicans, or you can't play with them because they voted for Obama. You know, it's got no place for a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, it's I don't want to wear pink. They say girls have to wear pink. I want to wear blue. Okay, fine, wear blue. You know, they're kids.
Yep.
So that's the way I look at it. But you know what? Like you said, if you know that parent, if you're one of those people who is on PTA and you have workings with that parent and you think they would be tolerable, then by all means, broach the topic. She may already know that, and she may be talking about someone completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That conversation might have been about a bad person, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and have really nothing to actually do with you.
Right. Yeah. You don't really know what the
basis.
What spurred that conversation, what, you know, created that conversation, or why the child said that.
Because if the mom has never come to you and said, listen, are you Christian? I only let my child go after school with people who are Christian. If she's never bothered to ask you, and you know you're not going to her church,
mm-hmm.
obviously she knows you're not going to her church, and her daughter's still over your house playing.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She hasn't pulled her in the house yet, so
mm-hmm.
obviously it's not something against your child, or she wouldn't be playing with them in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, so 7 is still okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
And,
you know, like we always say, it's my humble opinion. It's how I handled it with my kids. They seem to work out okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all people are different. All kids are different. And you got to do what you got to do. But that's my life lesson there.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, as I was saying, I don't necessarily think it's up to us to choose a path for our children.
Absolutely.
But it is up to us to raise them with a certain sense of good versus bad.
Yes.
And a worldview, if you will.
Right.
How do they
right.
view the world? You know, it's really no different than teaching them not to be prejudiced against people based on, you know, race, religion, color, creed.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing.
My kids had Jewish friends. My kids
mm-hmm.
had Catholic friends. My kids
mm-hmm.
had pagan friends. I mean, one of our dearest neighbors who we've been friends with forever, you know Linda and Stu, and
mm-hmm.
Linda is Catholic and Stu is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
They have been raising their kids biculturally their whole
mm-hmm.
lives.
Yeah.
They both celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of presents.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they've been more than happy to explain to any of the neighborhood kids what Hanukkah is or what Christmas is or what anything else is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a great overview for my kids.
Yeah.
They know about several different kinds of religions, just like they know about many different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They know about LGBT. They know about, you know, heterosexuality. They have friends in all walks of life, rich, mm-hmm. poor, living off the grid, living on the grid.
Right.
And I think there's no better way for a child to make an informed, valuable decision on their own path
right.
without knowing that all these different things exist.
Right, absolutely.
So explain it. Explain what being a Christian means and see what they think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
They might go, oh, heck no. Might not be worth the struggle.
No. I also just want to take a second to remind people before we probably take a break here shortly.
Yeah.
That if you'd like to call in with a question of your own, please do. And the phone number to call is 646-564-9714. And if you give us a call and you hit the 1 button, we will let you know, you know, after the line picks up, obviously. If you hit the 1 button, we'll be able to see that you have a question. And our engineer, Mr. Terry Power, will come on and talk to you for a moment. He does a good
famous,
job here for us.
The famous Terry Power from Terry Power's Power Hour. That's right.
Or infamous, as the case may be.
Yeah, however it works out for you.
That's it.
But you know what? I'm thinking if it's okay with the all-powerful Terry Power, maybe we should go to break before we embark on the next question, because this looks like it might be a chatty one as well.
Okay.
And tonight we have queued up, last I heard, was Shamanistic Dreams by Music for the Goddess, one of our personal favorite groups.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll see you when we get
Sounds
back.
Good. Okay.
Thank you. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello, we're back. Ta-da!
We're back. Woo-woo!
I just want to say that the musical interlude we had this evening at the break was Music for the Goddess. And if you liked the song or you'd like to hear more from Music for the Goddess, feel free to go out to any music download software like iTunes or whatever and type in Music for the Goddess. It will come up. And you can listen to a sample of a lot of their stuff. I know, Lucy, you and I are big fans.
Oh, yeah, I have both their CDs. One is the Goddess Mandela, and the other one, I believe, is called Dance of Hecate, something of Hecate.
Okay.
It's a little bit darker than the first one.
Yeah.
But the first one, I'll tell you, the first one is almost like a little trip through a casting a circle, calling down the quarters. It's great, and it's so much fun. And she even has a couple of songs on there that are, like, I think of them like, you know, My Boyfriend's Back and I'm Going to Get Married, you know, like those kind of pop songs. It's a really fun, energetic CD if you're looking for something like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, we love them.
Okay. We can move on to the second question here.
Now, this one, you might have a lot of input on this because I know you know a whole lot more about the Hindu faith than I do. It says, I am pagan and my boyfriend has a Jewish father and a Hindu mother. We want to get handfasted as a precursor to eventually getting married in a year or two. Any suggestions on how to incorporate everyone's beliefs in the ceremony and how do I find an officiant? Now, we had a friend who just recently went to a Hindu Indian type wedding, and don't they do almost a sort of
hand fasting type? Don't they incorporate that? Or am
yeah,
I thinking
think that
of
wedding was a
else?
Sikh wedding.
Okay. But I know several weddings these days do incorporate. I even know that the Orthodox, what is it, the Greek Orthodox, have a sort of tying of the hands symbolism with
mm-hmm.
Wreaths that they do.
Right.
So it seems like that is something that can easily be spread across
mm-hmm.
to combine faiths.
Right. Well, yeah, but she, I think, you know, she wants to bring in concepts of the other faiths. I mean, I would look at the similarities of all the faiths and try
mm-hmm.
to come up with something from that. I mean, I don't think you're really successfully going to, mingle Judaism
everything.
And, yeah, Hinduism and paganism. I mean, it's all order.
But clothing could be, clothing could
clothing
bring aspects
and
in.
Clothing and awning, as I recall, most, you know, I think in the Jewish faith you have to get married under a
the
awning
chuppah.
Of some sort. Yeah.
It's called the chuppah, yes.
The chuppah, yep. And then there's they step on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And that seals it. So, I mean, you can incorporate some of those things into your ceremony. You know, the Hindus wear red as usually as their wedding color.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of jewelry because they pretty much are wearing part of their dowry when they get married.
Right, right.
So, you know.
And there's no problem in paganism with wearing red.
Oh, right, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that certainly wouldn't take away from that. Maybe there's some readings,
mm-hmm.
you know, some poetry or,
yeah.
you know, popular things like that that can be read.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's plenty of things as far as the Jewish faith that occur in the Old Testament. I think even the wedding at Cana is part of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that the Jewish faith still follows some of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as an officiant, you might do best with more of a justice of the peace kind of situation, you know, a multicultural, maybe a universal, one of those universalist ministers.
Or even just, you know, go with like a mayor or a judge
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
somebody that's non-denominational, you know, unless one of the family members is going to insist you get married in their church, which hopefully they, you know, will understand that it's not your faith and they're not going to make you do that.
Well,
I've seen
you
that
know
in
what?
Families.
Hey, you could also do that. You could also turn around and have two weddings.
Yeah, yeah.
Do your hand
yeah,
fasting.
So.
Do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a small family-oriented Jewish ceremony and then turn around and have a Hindu ceremony. Hey, three parties.
Well, actually, I saw a video somewhere of a couple getting married, and they each had their individual priest slash, you know,
rabbi,
whatever,
mm-hmm.
talking to them about their wedding ceremony. So they would ask the question of the, you know, person who was in their faith, and so they did the ceremony together. So that's an option. You know, you get yourself a Hindu, a pagan, and a rabbi. It sounds like a bad
mm.
joke.
But you know,
what
there are a lot
pagan
of
and a rabbi go into a bar. No.
Yeah. There are a lot of I know in priests because I've met several of them,
mm-hmm.
very multi theological priests who have
mm-hmm.
chosen, you know, the Catholic faith as their path, but they are well aware of the views and the customs of other religions,
mm-hmm.
and they're more than willing to, they're more concerned that the couple know each other and love each other
mm-hmm.
than, you know, what the cultural theme of the day is.
Yep.
And if you can find yourself, you know, I think they call it a Reformed rabbi,
yes.
You know, he might be more than willing, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can find, you know, a little bit more easygoing members of any faith that are willing
mm-hmm.
to embrace, you know, love across the board.
Right.
It reminds me of that that video that's going around Facebook, and it's a giant X-ray machine. and you see couples behind the x-ray machine, and all you see are skeletons because it's x-ray machine.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're
yeah.
hugging each other, and one of the couples comes out, and it's a female priest and a Hindu woman,
mm-hmm.
and it says, love doesn't worry about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Jewish gentleman and a Muslim gentleman, and when they're, you know, hugging each other behind, it's just two bodies. You know, we're all human.
Right.
And I really believe that you can find that out there if you take the time to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a good way to go. And then, yeah, write down all the customs from each faith. You might be surprised that some are very similar.
Yep, absolutely.
Which I think would be, you know, really lovely.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the common things that every faith teaches is to embrace love and to love the other people in your life and people in general, and to be kind. And so, you know, if you can find a way to bring that spirit into your ceremony, you've succeeded, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped out of the chat room for a second. Not that you think I'm missing my... I'm coming back right now, but just really quick, in case you noticed that I was gone. I'm not gone on the phone. I was just, I don't know, for some reason my computer just keeps deciding to go off and on the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So I don't know what it is. It's probably all the rain that everybody's been having.
Yeah, I don't know. My thing is doing a weird thing, too. I've got little icons frozen over the chat room, so it's making it very difficult to read what people are writing in the chat room.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I sort of gave up reading it.
Terry was posting that he did a wedding in Barbados that had an agnostic bishop and himself marrying a Wiccan and a Buddhist.
Cute.
In Barbados.
Yeah, that works.
The agnostic bishop was the only one who could sign the paperwork in Barbados.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and that's another thing, too. You know, there's a lot of people, like, I mean, I would trust you 100% to perform a hand fasting for myself or any of my children or anyone mm-hmm. we know. Unfortunately, you're not legal.
Yeah, not
as
yet.
As far as signing paperwork. So, yeah, so sometimes it's necessary to have that other person who can be the legal officiant.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good to have both. But mm-hmm. I think it's out there. I think it's going to take a little work or a little diving into it and really making sure of it on your part, but I think it can be done.
Mhm.
You know, and everybody's going to have to be willing to give.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The Wiccan young lady can't expect to have everything all Wiccan.
Mhm.
And you know, the in-laws can't hope to have everything all. Did you happen to have any idea what the Wiccan's parents were? Were they Wiccan? Were they a mixed background?
She did not say. So I'm assuming maybe they're pagan too, because she didn't.
Yeah,
because she
didn't add in Catholicism to the mix.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Or maybe they're just not real religious people, so they don't. Mm-hmm. They're just happy their daughter's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that would be great too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
Yep.
All right, what do you got? Anything?
Well, there's a question in the chat room from Niv. Who heals the healers and who teaches the teachers?
Well, I know you learned from a bunch of teachers who learned from a bunch of teachers who learned from a bunch of teachers, and
mm-hmm.
I learned from you. So I guess the teachers are taught by those that come before them.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as who heals the healers, that brings up a whole nother question. Is the healer smart enough to get herself healed?
Mm. Well, one of the things, I was just having this conversation the other day with Jackie, as a matter of fact. And
a teacher?
Yes, she's been my teacher for almost 20 years now. But she was talking about the proliferation of places where you can buy your high priest degree.
Mm.
you know, some of these schools that have popped up and other, you know, people online who are professing to be high priests and high priestesses who will ordain you and go through this coven structure and you'll be ordained and, you know, just make sure that you give me $3,000 or whatever.
Gee, mine was so much easier.
Poof!
You're a high priest.
And how dangerous it is, she thinks, for the craft at large, that there's this proliferation of basically here, learn this stuff out of a book, write a couple of reports, and now you're a first degree, you're a second degree, you're a third degree, because the concept here of this path is that it's experiential. This is not about how many books you can read and how many reports you can write. That just means you're a good college student, you know.
Exactly.
That doesn't make you a good witch. It doesn't make you a good
or even a knowledgeable person.
Exactly. The key elements to, you know, walking this path are, first and foremost, know yourself and working on yourself to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's your first obligation. After that, it's connection to the elements and to the gods and what are you doing in your life to make sure that you're a good example to others. You know, one of the things I always tell people when they're looking for a teacher is look at that person's life. Do they have a job? Are they relatively normal and happy? Are they
living their path?
Yeah, you know, are they actually, you know, trying to be the best person they can be? They might not be succeeding, but at least are they trying? Or are they sitting on their butt and letting people, you know, disseminating knowledge to people and just taking advantage? It's rampant in the community right now that people are, you know, throwing up these webinars and, okay, you know, you come to these webinars, and I've done webinars too, but not for this. Definitely not for telling people they're going to be a high priestess or a high priest, or even professing to teach them about the craft in a webinar, because it's not experiential. You have to have, you know, hand down the knowledge face to face with stories and experiences and validating their experiences. When people come and say, or like you, sometimes call me and say, oh, I had this experience, blah, 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 blah. What do you think? Well, let me tell you, absolutely, because this is what happened to me, blah, 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 blah. And that's really what it's about, is validating each other's experiences and you know, giving people little gems of food for thought and making sure they're going to do the work. Me calling you up and telling you to read three paragraphs and write a report is not you doing the work.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's one of my pet peeves recently. I've got a whole long list of pet peeves, but maybe we should do a show on pet peeves.
Pet peeves, there you go. What grinds your gears?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the healing of the healers? I know we did a show on who heals the healers.
Yeah. Yep. You know, the bottom line is that the healer needs to take responsibility for themselves and make sure that they put set time aside to make sure that they are healthy and that they are taking care of themselves. Self-care is, again, part of the first order of business. And you cannot take care of others. And this goes for everybody, you know, whether you're a single mom or, you know, the dad of a family, a healer, somebody who has who other people depend on, period, anybody. You need to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. So if you're a healer and you want to make sure that you're well enough to heal others, you have to get help when you need it. Whether it means, making sure you get 8 to 10 hours a night of sleep so you're well rested, or going and, you know, getting a massage or whatever it takes, do it.
Right. Ask for help, too.
You know what I mean?
If you're finding yourself drained, find that person that you trust. Ask for help.
Yep, absolutely. That's absolutely
so many times we don't want to bother anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't call so-and-so because I'm usually the one who gives them advice, and I can't lower myself to look like I'm a mess. Don't get caught up in your ego, folks. If you need help, ask for it. You'll be surprised how much better a connection you'll have with people when they get to see that you're human, too. And you'll also avoid one of the biggest pitfalls that healers and teachers tend to fall into is, let's say you do have a bad day or you're not feeling well or whatever, and you disappoint somebody in some way. And they've put you on this big pedestal because you're so perfect and so wonderful and so powerful and, oh, gosh, I want to be just like them. And then you disappoint them. That's a long fall, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one you'll never recover from. So if from the get-go they see that you are a human being and you get sick and you have bad days and you have, you know, some life issues that need to be handled yourself, and that you handle them and you don't just ignore them and procrastinate, that's setting a good example because nobody's life is perfect. You're always going to have crap come into your life. And, you know, I've seen people who have been disappointed by their teachers and healers absolutely be turned off by the craft or by their particular tradition or the people who, you know, disappointed them in some way and totally go the other way and just be like, oh, you know, this is terrible. I'm never going to be in that situation again. And and they're really robbing themselves of a great opportunity to be taught and to learn. Because our teachers are not always going to be perfect all the time.
No, nobody human is.
That's it. But oftentimes, as teachers, we are expected to be perfect, and our students tend to, you know, want us to be, you know, above them and so much more learned and whatnot. But no, we're just human beings.
So true.
So, yeah. So, with that said, oh my gosh, it's just a few minutes to the end of the show here. I guess we should do some business.
I can't do any business because I've been booted.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got it in front of me.
Okay, you do the business this week.
I will. Do you remember many, many, many years ago? I'm dating myself. There was a football game on TV. I think it was probably the Giants, since that was the only football I ever used to watch because of the ex-husband. And one of the referees called a penalty, and it was because one of the guys on the field was giving the business to one of the other guys. That was the official call. That has always tickled me. He was giving him the business. I just thought that was so brilliant that the guy actually said it that way. But anyway, we're gonna give you the business.
Give us the business.
That's it. If you need to get in touch with the station in some way, either to contact a host, maybe you loved our show, or maybe you didn't like our show so much and you want to tell somebody about it, or you want to get in touch with somebody who was a host on one of our a guest on one of our shows,
mm-hmm.
or you have questions for the Thursday night show with Terry and myself, and or if you have questions for, you know, when you and I do these Ask-A-Witch
mm-hmm.
shows, feel free to send them to CERN.org@gmail.com. So that's CERN.org@gmail.com. And that's how you get in touch with anybody at the station. You can also get in touch with the radio station at Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook, or spiritualunityradionetwork.org. And you can obviously get in touch with Lisa or I through the Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health page on Facebook. And that page name is actually Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. There's no and word in between, so in case you type that, you might not get it. And then there's also my email address that you can get in touch with me or Terry, and that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And I think that's everything.
Well, your Little Stone Bridge Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Little Stone Bridge Facebook page. And, oh, and the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page has actually the whole correct title for that one.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think that's it.
That's all the business? You've done giving us the business.
I'm done giving you the business till next time.
So glad. It was a good amount of business. So what do you got planned this week since we have 5 minutes?
Well, I was going to say, did you have any last comments about the questions tonight or anything that you wanted to, anything in particular you wanted to throw out there? Related or unrelated?
No, I think I did enough talking.
Yeah, okay. I just want to say a couple things. The last piece of business is we are supposed to have Mr. Ed Fitch on the show next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will be confirmed in the next day or so. And the other thing was, those of you out there listening, I would really appreciate it if you could go out to Facebook and check out the Facebook page. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to look it up. In the meantime, let me tell you that we will also be, Terry and I will be speaking at Horn and Honey, H-O-R-N and H-O-N-E-Y, Horn and Honey. It's a pagan event coming up. And when is that event? The end of June? I believe it's the last. He sent me a message. Not on that screen. June 27th and 28th. And the Facebook page that I was going to ask everybody to go and check out is the Our Right to Use Our Pagan Names on Facebook. Yes, it's a long title to the page. But for anybody who has had their Facebook page locked down and Facebook has said you need to prove who you are in order to have access to your page again, go join that page. We're going to be planning something in the very near future. And if you're somebody that was affected by that, please go to the page and sign on. And you'll find both Terry and myself there, and Trev Nelson, who was in the chat room earlier, is the actual moderator for the page. So we are trying to support that cause at the moment. And but getting back to Horn and Honey, I believe that is in Ohio. Where is that? Indiana. Sorry. Oh, yeah, that's another flat state. Indiana. And as I said, we'll be there the 27th and 28th. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun.
You got a busy month too.
Oh my gosh, this month is crazy. I have things that I can't do this month that I want to do, because I've got other things I have to do that I'm already committed to do. I'm supposed to. The 27th, we were supposed to go to a friend's wedding, and I can't go now because we're going to Horn and Honey. I have to do that because it's, you know, it's kind of business, you know.
Mm.
And. We'll be teaching at that, and also vending. So if you're in that area and you know you want to go to Horn and Honey, check it out. The website for Horn and Honey is www.hornandhoney.org. And check it out. Let's see. What don't you know?
Well, nothing. I don't know about not going to somebody's wedding for work.
Well, you know.
Would you not come to my wedding because of work?
Well, no. I would definitely.
Well, there you
have
it. See? God.
But you're special.
Well, I know. That's true. I'm special. So special.
Yeah. And also in June we have, I have a Friday that I'm going to be driving up to Albany to go to Rachel Gunther's
farm. Yes.
The thing, the farm for Kathy Krakalici's huge rock sell-off, which is going to be awesome.
Oh my God, her little goats are so cute. I keep seeing them on Facebook. Oh my gosh, you better send me pictures because I know I can't go.
And then the next day after that, we are supposed to be going down to Ivo Dominguez's for the soft opening of the Akashic Library, which I am just so excited about. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's been a long-term project that I've been, you know, the MPA way back used to support, and so I'm really ecstatic to see it finally coming to some fruition. So I'm really excited about that. And we were really flattered that Ivo invited us as well too. So I'd like to go and do that. He's such a sweet man. So
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely true. True that. And of course, you have one other thing you're doing this month.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming to see you.
Yay!
Yep, I'll be in New Jersey visiting Lily in person and live.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be too good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
Sorry,
to it.
Sorry, Terry can't come. No.
Yeah, he'll be in Florida. He's got things to do in Florida.
I know, I'm terrible. I'm just terrible. But I need my girlfriend.
I know.
I need my girlfriend alone.
It's been a while.
That's the terrible thing. You know, as a friend, I always support you. And I happen to think that Terry is a fantastic human being.
Okay.
Aside from the fact that he's good for you, we liked him from day one when we met him.
Yes, 2 years ago.
And it's so hard then because, you know, I support it and I'm like, yeah, you take care of my girl. I'm trusting you with my girl. And then, you know, he takes care of my girl and I don't see my girl anymore.
Well,
he's doing such a good job.
Well, yeah, but you know what the hardest thing is he's only here on the weekends.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Down there on the weekends. But next
right.
week, I can, Terry's finally
come in the middle of the week.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
But it's just, it's a funny thing because, you know, I sat here thinking about it the other day. Yeah, I pushed for this. I pushed wholeheartedly that this was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, it's not like we can get together on a Wednesday night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. I'm actually thinking of not watching the Game of Thrones this week and waiting and just watching it with you.
Oh, I would love that.
That way, because this week it's going to be so good based on what's happened the last four or however long it's been since we watched. Because I think you only watched the first three, right?
The first three seasons, yeah. I haven't seen
any. No, the first three episodes of this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, the last
and then after that, you haven't watched them. So we've got like four or five to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to try not to watch it tomorrow. I got a couple other things because I've been watching Salem on the WGN.
Mm-hmm. How is
very
that?
Interesting. I'll have to tell you about it. It's
okay.
It's very interesting. It takes place in Salem, Massachusetts, during the burning times. And what's really funny is the spin they've done it, the fictional spin that they've done on it, is that they needed all these innocent witches to burn, these non-witches to burn, because they needed to have a certain amount of spilt innocent blood in order to open a portal for whatever they're opening it for. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the hereditarial witches.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the self-proclaimed witches who are kind of more like occultists.
Interesting.
And it's just really interesting the way they're kind of twisting it. Yes, I know, Terry, no witches actually burned in Salem. Innocent people burned in Salem. That's the point. They had to spill the innocent blood for the witches to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
and so the witches actually caused the burning times in order for them to survive. So it's like a really weird turnaround that they're doing. And they're being very nice about everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not running around saying, oh, they're devil worshippers.
Yeah.
Some of them are, but not all of them.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is very realistic.
Yeah, not historically accurate, but okay.
No. No, but
okay.
You know what? We didn't live back then. We didn't live back then, so how do we know that some bad witches didn't start it?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
I mean, you know, we don't know, but now they're introducing the Black Plague and it's getting really disgusting. But you know, and yeah, but it's just it's a really interesting, fun show with a very talented cast. And I kind of like that. Good acting is good acting.
Yeah, that's true.
And you got to remember, it's fiction.
Yes, exactly.
Don't get all offended. It's just fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
All right,
I know we have to go. I know he's probably doing the look at my watch
sign.
Dance.
Yeah, he's giving me the high sign. All right. I will talk to you soon, and I will see you on Wednesday evening.
Yay!
All right.
All right, baby. Love you, and blessed be everybody.
Blessed be, and spread the love. We'll see you next Friday.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.